Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When you have everything right between you and God, then you're protected. Your vitals are protected. The enemy can't get easy access when you have things right. And there are those of you that are here today and you don't have things right between you and God. There are some of you here who are playing a game. You are serious at certain times, and then you're giving in other areas.
Having things right with God does not mean we have to live perfect lives. We can't. Walking in righteousness simply means we ask forgiveness for our sins as we desire to do things right according to God's word. Repenting and seeking forgiveness is something we do when we first come to know Jesus, and then practically it continues daily as we walk with Him. Today, we learn how to put on the breastplate of righteousness in the armor of God as we continue our series, Combat Zone. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, in Ephesians chapter 6.
Father, thank you so much for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is meaningful, it is powerful, it is profound, it is life-changing. When it gets into us, it changes who we are. And we thank you that we take time to study your word. It is our authority. It is inerrant in the things that it teaches. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit would speak to us clearly, do a work in us as we take a look at it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Welcome to our study in the book of Ephesians. In this section on the armor of God, we are learning that everything we do as Christians has a spiritual connection. This is the 23rd study in the book of Ephesians. It is our fourth study, I believe, in the series Combat Zone that we are doing. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 6, 12 through 3. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. We are in a spiritual battle. Everything that is happening with your family, with your home, with your children is a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And if we're living our lives going through as Christians as if everything's on this physical level, and when a problem arises, I just need to go deal with it, we roll up our sleeves and go to take care of it, we're missing that there's a satanic work that's going on behind the scenes. The Bible says in Matthew 16, 18, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And I love that. We are guaranteed success. We've been given everything we need to win if we stand for Christ. And we need to take spiritual authority over the things that are taking place right now. I believe a lot of the culture war stuff. I believe men in women's bathrooms. I believe men changing clothes in women's rooms. I believe these are demonic. I think they're part of what Satan's attack is. And although federally these things have changed, they haven't changed in Tucson because our mayor hasn't changed them. This is important for us to remember and understand. I know workers here who, if they stop a man from going into a woman's bathroom, they will be fired. That's in Tucson, Arizona. It's not time for us to let up. It's not time for us to go, we're just going to go ahead and do this. Women have been raped. Girls have been raped in bathrooms and in changing rooms because men have been allowed to go in. These are things we continue to fight against, and we need to continue to fight against them. Now, the title of our message is Combat Zone. The problem with many Christians is they're not involved in the war. We're like, we don't know what the war is. We don't know what the battlefield is. We go through life unaware, unarmed, unprotected, and unprepared to be in this battle at all. Making the enemy our neighbor, our boss, or a difficult person around us. We think if only that person weren't in our lives, but Satan is attacking. He is like a roaring lion. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for people that don't have their armor on. He's looking for people. We talked about the belt of truth last week. He's looking for people who aren't living in truth. They're saying things like, just live your own truth. You found your truth and I found my truth, and just live your own truth. No, there is the truth. And if you don't live in the truth, then you are vulnerable. If you go out into battle with a baggy pair of pants and no belt, you're in trouble. Your pants are going to fall down. You're not going to be able to fight well. The belt of truth just cinches everything together. When you say, I am about truth, I personally am on a truth quest. I'm not on an I'm right quest. I don't care about whether or not I'm right. I care about what the truth is. And if I find out that the truth is different than what I believe, I will change that. And that's why our podcast, Robert Furrow's podcast, is called Truth Quest, because we are on a truth quest because we know the importance of what truth is. In 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, it says, of Satan, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. We've got to be aware. Satan doesn't show up growling and snarling with saliva coming out of his mouth and a pitchfork and a red tail and say, I'm here to get you. He shows up looking all happy and like a pastor that's going to give you good news, but they're teaching doctrines of demons, and his ministers do the same, and we need to be careful. John 8, 44 says of Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. Satan's goal is to murder. Is it any wonder there are a million unborn babies killed every year in America? And for us to think that this is not spiritual warfare also is problematic. He is a murderer from the beginning, it goes on to say, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so we need to be aware that we have a very real enemy. The title of our message today is The Armor of God Explained, The Breastplate of Righteousness. As I said last week, we talked about the importance of knowing the truth and walking in the truth. And today we're going to talk about the importance of what it means to walk in righteousness, that you would have your sins forgiven, that you would not be walking around doing promiscuous things, having sex outside of marriage, being involved in things you shouldn't be involved in, because it's going to affect you in your faithfulness with Christ. What we're looking for is men and women who are willing to say, I want to do what's right. I want to treat people right. I want to do what is right. And I want the power of righteousness in my life. So we're looking at the protection of the breastplate of righteousness. To be righteous means that you have everything right between you and God. That's what righteousness is. When you have everything right between you and God, then you're protected. Your vitals are protected. The enemy can't get easy access when you have things right. And there are those of you that are here today and you don't have things right between you and God. There are some of you here who are playing a game. You are serious at certain times, and then you're giving in other areas. And there are two ways that you receive this righteousness. You receive the righteousness imputed by God. This is when you don't have a history of righteousness. There's unrighteousness in your past. And you say to God, I have sinned against you. Forgive me. I want to live for you. I'm sorry. I'm going to live for you now. Help me to live the way that I should. And God imputes Christ's righteousness into you. This is an amazing thing, because he's not just taking away your sin so your righteousness remains. He gives you the righteousness of Christ. So everyone in here can have that. Then there is practical righteousness. As we walk through our life daily, after we received imputed righteousness, there's practical righteousness that you and I receive. Now, we want to do what is right. I've written down here, for example, stop sleeping together before you're married. Don't take advantage of other people. Stop stealing. Accept the gender that God has given you. Don't kill the unborn. Number two, repent and seek God's forgiveness. He takes away your sins and you are righteous. Let me give you a couple verses. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them like wool. God says, come to me and let's reason. Let's talk about this sin in your life. Let me take it away. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Grace is undeserved favor. You say, I don't deserve this imputed righteousness. Well, no one deserves it. Welcome to the club. It is all undeserved. So what I want to do today for the rest of our time together is take a survey through the Bible on righteousness. I've broken it up into five different categories. I'll talk about what it means, what each one of these categories on righteousness means. I've already given you the definition of righteousness: to be right. To be right about what you believe, to be right with God, to be right in your relationship with God is to be a righteous individual, or to be part of the righteous brothers, which is only two of them. That's the other way in which you can be righteous, but that's only for them. So we've got to go the other route. So the first thing that we want to look at is the righteousness of God, who is the source of all righteousness. God is light, and in him is no shifting of shadows, James 1 tells us. And that means that you and I have hearts that are dark. We're told that our hearts are evil, who can know them, and that God is going to do a work in us by giving us righteousness so that we can now have interaction with a God who is holy and pure and just and light, and we now are changed by him to become children of the living God and have light that we can interact with him. Before we can understand the power of righteousness in our lives, we must recognize that God alone is truly righteous. His righteousness is the foundation of justice, of truth, and holiness. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he of God, he is the rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are justice. A God of truth without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Now, the Bible also teaches us that God is immutable. That means he never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible teaches us. So we know we can always go to God and get a good deal. We know we can always go to God and get what he said in his word, because God is a God who doesn't change. Psalms 1:7 says, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. God's righteous, he loves righteousness, and he loves to look upon those who are upright. We are only upright because the righteousness of God has been imputed to us, and now we have begun to walk in practical righteousness and given the Spirit to do that. Jeremiah 9:24 says, but let him who glories glory in this. You want to brag about something? You want to glory in something? That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight. God delights in loving kindness. He delights in judgment, and he delights in righteousness. These are the areas he delights in. The verse I quoted earlier, this is James 1:17, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's right after talking about sin. We think we need sin. We think, I really need that. We've lived our lives living for those things. We know what it's like to live for them, but now we are no longer slaves to them. Now we've been set free. Now we don't have to do them, and we feel like we have to. And James says, listen, every good and perfect gift comes from above. What you need comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting or turning. In 1863, I believe, the Emancipation Proclamation, or the Proclamation of Emancipation, was passed by Abraham Lincoln, and now the slaves are free. The only problem is that many of the slaves didn't know. The creepy masters didn't tell them. They knew, but they didn't tell the slaves that they were free. And then when some of the slaves learned that they were free, they stayed slaves because it's all they knew. They didn't know where to go. They were like, what am I going to go? What am I going to do? All I've done for my whole life is be a slave. And so for many months, they remained as slaves. And it finally took the Union Army going into the South and taking the slaves literally away from them for them to find their freedom. That's like a lot of Christians. We've lived our whole lives to sin. We've been involved in sin. We don't understand that God has given us a proclamation of emancipation. God has set us free, and we no longer have to be bound by it. And many of us as Christians are living as if we are bound by it, but we are not bound by it. We have been given the Spirit of God as power to be able to overcome it. And He has set us free. So we are no longer slaves to sin, Romans chapter 6 says. This is so very important for us to understand and to grasp. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about, God is the source of all righteousness. The second is imputed righteousness. This is righteousness as a gift from God. This is a theological word. Theologians talk about imputed righteousness and practical righteousness. Imputed righteousness is when you do nothing but ask God to forgive you, and God takes away your sins and imputes the righteousness of Christ to you. You receive it, not your own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus. I stand before you, according to the scriptures, not as one that has righteousness of Robert Furrow because my sins have been forgiven, but the righteousness of Christ. And I can interact with God because of that righteousness, which Jesus did. This is an incredibly powerful point. Ephesians 15:6 says, and he believed in the Lord. This is speaking of Abraham, who never heard the name of Jesus. And he believed in the Lord. What God was telling him about his son, Isaac, and the Messiah coming from Sarah's womb, which at this point Abraham said was dead, and he believed the Lord, and he accounted to him righteousness. When Abraham said, I believe you, God, then God accounted what Jesus would do on the cross years later to Abraham in righteousness. Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself out with ornaments, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. When we are decked out in the armor of God, when the righteousness of God is the breastplate, we put on the righteousness. We wear it. That's what God says. Like a bridegroom dresses up for his wedding, like a bride does, we have the righteousness of God on us. In Romans 3:21 and 22, it says, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Let me read that slower. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is being revealed. We don't keep the law to become righteous. It's apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. If you believe in Jesus, then you are going to be given righteousness, and that righteousness will stand. Romans 4:5 says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted as righteousness. It's not about any works. Don't let anybody tell you you've got to go out and do something to get righteousness, to get faith, to get salvation, to get eternity. It's not unto him who works, but it's unto him that has faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. It's speaking of Jesus on the cross. He took the cross on. He didn't have to. He could have called a legion of angels to save him. He went to the cross. They drove nails through his flesh and into that tree. He bled and he died for you as they mocked him before that cross. And he took on sin. The worst part of the cross, it's been said, was not that they drove nails through his hands and feet, but they put the sin of mankind on him for the very first time. I don't know if you can remember an area in your life where your innocence was taken from you, or you lost your innocence because of something you did. And you know the guilt, you know the conscience being struck by it. Think of Jesus never knowing sin and all the sin of mankind laid upon Jesus on the cross. In essence, he took something he didn't know, sin, so you could have something you don't know, righteousness. And now we are righteous because he became sin for us. Let me read it again. 1 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's who we are as the children of God. We are the righteousness of God. One more on imputing righteousness. This is Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. We had learned earlier, it's by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not just believing that he exists. It's by saying, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. This was foretold in the Old Testament, and I am now going to live for Jesus. I'm done living for myself, and you will have imputed upon you the righteousness of God. Now, there's some of you that are listening to this, maybe online, maybe you're listening to this here, and you've got a history of sin in your life. You're looking back, maybe even as a Christian, and you've compromised in many areas, and you feel guilty, and you feel like, how am I ever going to have that righteousness? This message is for you. I have walked with the Lord for over 50 years. I'm not going to give you the exact number. For over 50 years, I've walked with the Lord. And actually, it's been right about 50 years. I walked with the Lord for right about 50 years. And I can tell you that there's been things I've done during those 50 years I'm ashamed of. There are things I wish I wouldn't have done. There are times that I've gone back into the things of my flesh. And I can tell you that God has taken those all away, and he has imputed his righteousness to me. And you can have that imputed now. You might regret what you have done, but don't let that regret turn into something the devil gets a hold of and stops you from going forward and receiving the imputed righteousness of Christ, which you can have right now and be holy and pure before God, which is an amazing thing. Actually dressed up with that breastplate of righteousness that protects your vitals. Now, the next thing that we learn is practical righteousness. We talked about imputed, but what happens is once we get the imputed righteousness of God, we are now clean and holy and pure before him. Now, by the power of the Spirit, if you guys have been with us on Wednesday nights, Romans 11, then you guys learned in chapter 7 that God's given us the Spirit that empowers us to walk righteously. I'm not walking righteously by the power of Robert Furrow, but I've been given power to be able to walk righteously before him. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I now have the Spirit of God inside of me. And so now I begin to do the right thing. While righteousness is first a gift from God that's imputed, believers are also called to walk in righteousness. Living rightly reflects our new identity as believers in Christ and protects us from the schemes of the enemy. So we know we are protected when we begin to do what's right. It means it affects us, and now we are no longer giving into those areas of the flesh.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m.,
and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.